ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। लेडीज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 23 द डायनेस्टीज ऑफ द सन्स ऑफ ययाति। टेक्स्ट नंबर 1। श्री सुक उवाच अनहो सवानरश्चक्षु परेष्णोश्च त्रयसुतः सवानरात् कालनरः सृञ्जयश्च तत्स्फुतस्ततः। अति हट थ्री सन्स नेम्ड Savanara, Chakshu and Parishnu. O king, from Savanara came a son named Kalanara, and from Kalanara came a son named Srinjaya. I'll just go on reading the translations. Text 2. From Srinjaya came a son named Janmejaya. From Janmejaya came Mahashala. From Mahashala Mahamana, and from Mahamana the two sons named Ushinara and Titikshu. Text 3 and 4. The four sons of Ushinara were Sibi, Bara, Krimi and Daksha. And from Sibi again came four sons named Brisadarbha, Sudhira, Madra, Atmatattvavit, Kekaya. The son of Titikshu was Rushadratha, and from Rushadratha came Homa, from Homa Sutapa, from Sutapa Bali. Text 5. By the semen of Drighattama, in the wife of Bali, the emperor of the world, six sons took birth, namely Anga, Vanga, Kalinga, Sumaha, Pundra and Odra. Text 6. These six sons, headed by Anga, later became kings of six states in the eastern side of India. These states were known according to the names of their respective kings. From Anga came a son named Kalapana, and from Kalapana came Diviratha. Text 7 to 10. From Diviratha came a son named Dharmaratha, and his son was Chitraratha, who was celebrated as Ramapada. Ramapada, however, was without issue, and therefore his friends Maharaj Dasaratha gave him his own daughter named Santa. Ramapada accepted her as his daughter, and thereafter she married Rishi Sringya. When the demigods from the heavenly planets failed to shower rain, Rishisringa was appointed the priest for performing a sacrifice. After being brought from the forest by the allurement of prostitutes who danced, staged theoretical performances, accompanied by music, and embraced and worshipped him. After Rishisringa came, the rain fell. Thereafter, Rishisringa performed a son-giving sacrifice on behalf of Maharaj Dasaratha, who had no issue, and then Maharaj Dasarath had sons. From Ramapada, by the mercy of Rishisringa, Chaturanga was born, and from Chaturanga came Prithulaksha. Text 11. These sons of Prithulaksha were Brihadratha, Brihatkarma and Brihadbhanu. From the eldest Brihadratha came a son named Vrannamana, and from Vrannamana came a son named Jayadratha. Text 12. The son of Jayadratha, by the womb of his wife Sambhuti, was Vijaya, and from Vijaya Dhriti was born. From Dhriti came Dhritavrata, and from Dhritavrata Satkarma, and from Satkarma Adhiratha. Text 13. While playing on the banks of the Ganges, Adhirath found a baby wrapped up in a basket. The baby had been left by Kunti because he was born before she was married. Because Adhirath had no sons, he raised this baby as his own. This son was later known as Karna. Text 14. O king, the only son of Karna was Vrishasena. And Dhuryu, the third son of Yayati, had a son named Babru. And the son of Babru was known as Setu. Text 15. The son of Setu was Arabdha. And Arabdha's son was Gandhara. And Gandhara's son was Dharma. Dharma's son was Dhrita. And Dhrita's son was Drumada. And Drumada's son was Pracheta, who had 100 sons. The Prachetas, the sons of Pracheta, occupied the northern side of India, which was devoid of Vedic civilization, and became kings there. Ayati's second son was Turavasu, and the son of Turavasu was Vahini. The son of Vani, Bharga, and the son of Bharga, Hanuman. Text 17. The son of Hanuman was Tirahanu, and his son was magnanimous Karandhama. And Karandhama's son was Maruta, who had no sons, and who therefore adopted a son from Puru dynasty, Maharaj Dushmanta, as his own. Text 18 to 19. Maharaj Dushmanta, desiring to occupy the throne, returned to his original dynasty, the Puru dynasty. Even though he had accepted Maruta as his father. O Maharaj Parikshit, let me now describe the dynasty of Yadu, the eldest son of Maharaj Yayati. This description is supremely pious, and it vanquishes the reactions of sinful activities in human society. Simply by hearing this description, one is freed from all sinful reactions. Text 20 and 21. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the Super Soul in the hearts of all living entities, descended in his original form as a human being in the dynasty or family of Yadu. Yadu had four sons named Sahasrajit, Krusta, Nala and Ripu. Of these four, the eldest Satrajit had a son named Satajit, who had three sons named Mahahaya, Renuhaya and Haihaya. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Vadantita Tattva Vidas Tattvam Yat Jnanam Advayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaneti Sabdyate. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagavan. The majority of transcendentalists understand only the impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma. For the personality of God, it is very difficult to understand. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanam sahasresu kaschidyatati siddhaye yadatamapi siddhanam kaschinmam vetti tattvatah. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection. And of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. The yogis and jnanis, that is the mystic yogis and the impersonalists, can understand the absolute truth as impersonal or localized. But although such realized souls are above ordinary human beings, they cannot understand how the Supreme Absolute can be a person. Therefore, it is said that out of many siddhas, the souls who have already realized the absolute truth, one may understand Krishna, who exactly resembles a human being, Narakriti. This human form was explained by Krishna himself after he manifested the Virat Rupa. The Virat Rupa is not the original form of the Lord. The Lord's original form is Dvibhuja, Shamashundara, Muralidhara. The Lord, with two hands, playing a flute. Yam Shamashundaram Achintya Guna Swarupam. The Lord's forms are proof of his inconceivable qualities. although the Lord manifests innumerable universes within the period of his breath, he is dressed with a form exactly like that of a human being. That does not mean, however, that he is a human being. This is his original form. But because he looks like a human being, those with a poor fund of knowledge consider him an ordinary man. The Lord says, Avajananti mamudha manusintanam ashritam param bhavam ajananto mamabhutva maheshwaram. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. By Lord's parambhavam or transcendental nature, he is all-pervading Paramatma, living in the core of the hearts of all living entities. Yet, he looks like a human being. Mayavad philosophy says that the Lord is originally impersonal, but assumes a human form and many other forms when he descends. Actually, however, he is originally like a human being. And the impersonal Brahman consists of the rays of his body. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti. Hare Krishna. So, while reading through these verses, I just understood that this is the verse I am supposed to speak. And how Srila Sukadeva Goswami gradually speaks all, narrates all the kings before he speaks about, before introducing Krishna. So in this particular verse, finally, actually Krishna is not yet introduced. This ninth canto will continue till tenth canto begins. And all these kings will be mentioned more and more. But as soon as it seems that Sukadeva Goswami has a lot of patience in describing all these kings before he speaks about Krishna. Because all these kings are also glorious, because they are connected to some great personality, or they themselves are great, or they are connected to Krishna like that. Just like we see sometimes, Prabhupada mentions some devotee's name in, suppose, say his purports, like His Grace Govinda Dasi Mataji. He speaks about her by how she very devotionally grew Tulsi plant in West, in one of the purport. That shows that such persons are also not ordinary. And they found an eternal place in the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam. Similarly, many spiritual masters also write, you know, books in which they write many devotees' name. And these names are also very, very extraordinary people. Their names are always there. So therefore we cannot say these are just names, because Sukadeva Goswami speaks about them, therefore they are generally very great. And also we see many dynasties which has not appeared. He is speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, and many kings have not yet manifested at that time. But still he speaks about them, future generations, giving all their names. This shows how he could see the future. Not only that, he was giving the, you know, all the names were already mentioned. Sometimes devotees, they get child and they worry, they come to Maharaj to give names. But here the names are already given. So there is no more worries. When the child is born, they know the name is like this. So the worry is over. So, but at this point, Yadubansi, King Yadav's name comes, immediately Sukadeva Goswami speaks a little bit about Krishna, saying that he is going to appear in this dynasty. And then he continues the names. But immediately he is kind of little bit losing, little bit patience. But actually he is awarding a benediction, saying those who are going to hear the narration of the following dynasty, the kings of the son of Ayati, Yadu and all these dynasties, they will be freed from all sinful reactions completely. And why is so? Because Krishna himself appeared in this dynasty. So therefore he makes the connection again, resumes. And Srila Prabhupada, he takes this point about Krishna, that how he appeared as in a human form, Narakriti. And then he goes on speaking about how the Supreme Absolute Truth is actually a person. So the people who generally come to this world are basically because of their envy, they have come into this world, material world. Therefore, it is the most difficult truth to accept. In general, in this world, truth is accepted with little difficulty. Any truth. Therefore, lawyers are there. everything is a mess, but when the truth is brought out, there is so much chaos, so much difficulty. So what to speak of accepting the supreme truth? It's so difficult. I was thinking about this aspect, and it is explained that to understand the truth, especially God, one has to be humble. If you take this word understand, understand means standing under, not standing over. So one who says, we are all God, we are equal to God, that means they are not standing below. They are trying to stand at equal level. So how can they understand? They will miss the point. So to accept any knowledge, one has to go below and accept the fact that I do not know anything. Like we say, Om Ajnanati Mirandas, I have no knowledge. Then there will be some scope to understand. Although people do not accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is very difficult. Prabhupada was, you see, Srila Prabhupada is actually Krishna's man. Because otherwise, at this point of time, going all over the world and saying everyone, Krishna is the Supreme Lord, it's very difficult. If you do not know Krishna, it's very difficult. But that was always his point. First of all, you say we are spirit soul, then we are Krishna's servant. Two things he'd always say. So it is first of all difficult to accept that we are spirit soul. Like it is mentioned that how Srila Prabhupada is pitching to the Americans, young boys and girls, because they are in so much a bodily concept of life, they would not be able to appreciate that we are spirit soul. Very difficult. Just like a child, for a child, the happiness and pleasure is the food or drink or some games probably afterwards. But for a baby, basically, it is the food. As soon as food is gone, the child will cry. The food comes, misery is over. But a person, if he grows, like a person, fully grown person, when he has developed emotions, they understand that food is not such a big thing in one sense. Suppose somebody does not like, say, Kerala. But he has achieved something very nice, wonderful, passed some great exam or something has happened in his life. So he comes to home and finds and tells mother that I have passed this exam or this or that, whatever. And mother says, oh, I have cooked Kerala. Then he says, no, never mind, I will take Kerala today because I am so happy, I don't mind what is there. On the other hand, if the opposite happens, suppose somebody fails exam and somebody gives him a rasgulla. Can he eat that rasgulla? It doesn't mean he doesn't like rasgulla. He likes rasgulla, but he cannot eat because the mood is different. So the pains and pleasure that comes from eating is not so much of value for a grown-up person. But if one grows spiritually further and further, the pains and pleasure that coming out of mind will not matter. And that actually solves all the problem. But one is not willing to grow. So one can grow only when one is humble and try to understand the message. So, in fact, everybody in this world is searching for the truth. Although they don't accept, but they are looking for it. Because once you know the truth, then you'll be actually happy. So the scientists, they are also searching for the truth. Like I speak about this in many seminars, that how the Sir Isaac Newton, who was the first very prominent and successful, is the father of physics. He explained the universe in a mechanistic model. Mechanistic means basically machine. How universe is like a machine, and how the machine is functioning in a certain way, and how the laws are governing them. So although Newton himself was a believer of God, because he presented so many laws and explained how these laws are actually controlling everything, therefore he minimized the role of Supreme Lord as a controller. And that's how, that's the seed of science. And they go on trying to search and search and research the truth. But, and the science then was called deterministic science. That means you can determine everything with these laws. You can determine everything. So, he was speaking all these things, and the scientists were very much hopeful about to know one thing after other, and it was happening. But then they were humbled. How was it? Because when they actually broke the atoms, atom, the word, you know, the Greek word atom, ironically it means unbreakable. Because they thought it is not breakable, it is the last particle. But somehow something clicked to them and they broke it. And they broke it apart, what they saw inside, the laws that Newton discovered, not at all applying in this world. And inside the atom there is a different world, and where the laws actually failed. And it failed so badly that they were completely disturbed. One of our professor, very very senior professor, when I was studying in Delhi University, he was telling us, he's a professor, he is not a spiritualist. And he was telling that how the big Nobel laureates, big scientists, actually after that no more scientists born. The biggest scientist that we know was during that phase, you know, early 20th century, that's all. Others are simply trying to understand where they have left. So these scientists, they actually went to the church. This is our professor was telling. And they knelt before the Lord. They're praying bitterly, please enlighten us in some way. This was their situation. So they're humbled in the due course of time. But then there are also spiritualists who are searching for the truth. Like Prabhupada is mentioning about yogis and jnanis and bhaktas. Three types. The yogis, they renounce this world and go to forest and try to meditate on the Supreme Lord within their hearts. Whereas jnanis, they try to understand through philosophical speculation by studying Upanishads and scriptures. And the bhaktas, they approach the Supreme Lord by following Vaidhi Bhakti system, where they offer devotional service under the guidance of devotees. These are three types of people, and they are trying to understand the supreme truth. So, the scientists, they believe the truth is that this entire universe is just energy. There is nothing but energy. And this energy is everything. And that is the truth. There is nothing beyond it. But then, the spiritualists see there are two things. Brahman Satya, Jagan Mithya, or Aham Brahmasmi. And these are the words Sripada Sankaracharya uses. So, what does it mean? Why they come to this conclusion? First, there is something called eternal. There is something that is called everlasting. Otherwise, these feelings would not come. Like people want to be happy forever. Nobody plans for a temporary happiness. You know? They have lived happily forever. Or afterwards, like that. The statements like that come. Or everybody plans and desires for a everlasting happiness. But it is not there in a material circumstances. We know from our own experience, from seeing others, that there is no everlasting happiness. But that everlastingness that feeling of eternity is there. And because it is existing, that feeling, therefore there has to be something eternal and forever. And that is described as Brahman. That is some entity, some substance, which is not material, which is not changing, which is not temporary, but everlasting. That is eternal. That is spirit soul. So, Brahman Satyam, that is the truth. Of course, the devotees explain, although this world is called illusory, illusion or mithya, but it has its factual existence. It has an existence. It exists. But it is temporary. It keeps changing. So the spiritualists accept that there is something higher. And then higher than that is actually God. So now, the Mayavadis, they say that there is no God. They accept, only aspect is Brahman. They say, we are Brahman and the Supreme Truth is Brahman. Initially we are all Brahman, one entity. But due to certain circumstances, whatever it may be, we are separated. And when we are separated, we came under material energy. And because of this material illusion, we are being trapped in this world. So whole the process of spirituality is what to purify from this contamination and again merge back to that Supreme. And sometimes they even say, the Mayavadis especially, that divine energy, formless, one energy, sometimes it manifests in the incarnations, in the form of the Lord. And therefore by worshipping this form, which is embodiment of all these potencies, spiritual potencies, one can be liberated. So these are their arguments. And it may sound very nice and attractive. But there are flaws. There are many flaws with this. So first of all, how do we know there is God? Right? This question may come. Like one devotee, is now a devotee in our congregation. He was telling, very senior person. So when he met his student Sadhana Swami for the first time, he was telling that everything is one. We are all one. That was his concept before he came to meet and attend a Hare Krishna program. So Radhana Swami Maharaj just simply told him, if you and I were same, one, then whom should you worship? Because he was paying obeisance to Maharaj, in one sense. And if we are all one, then whom should he worship and whom should he love? Because love means service and love means sacrifice. These are the intrinsic character of the living entity. To worship, to love. One cannot separate these eternal qualities from the soul. And because these things are so obvious, then how can we say there is no God who is higher than us? How we can say we are all one? So these are all simple understanding. But then actually the concept of God, it comes from scriptures. First of all, we do not know who we are. Then how can you know who God is? First of all, I have to know who I am. Then I can know who is my father. If I don't know who I am, how do I know who is my father? Even if so many people say, he is your father, he is your father, how do I know? I do not identify myself, first of all. Similarly, the Lord is supreme. Supreme God is the father of all entities. But unless we know ourselves, how can we know God? So therefore, we seek the knowledge from the scriptures about God. And when you turn to the pages of scriptures, what does it speak about God? It speaks that He is a supreme person. So in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, all of us know that how Arjuna asked this question to Krishna. What is the best form of worship? Worshipping you as the Supreme Lord in the form, or worshipping your formless, impersonal aspect? Actually, you can understand, or we can actually appreciate the difficulty that Arjuna might have faced to ask this question. Just imagine, Arjuna is asking Krishna directly. He is asking the Supreme Lord, what is best, worshipping you or your energy? That's something very daring question. But Arjuna is asking in a very, very humble way. Because, Prabhupada explains in the purport, because he is attached to the Supreme Form's, Supreme Personality's personal form. He is attached to Krishna. And he wants to worship Krishna, he wants to serve Krishna. But then all these concepts are there, therefore he wants to clarify, I am worshipping you, and I don't want to give it up. Please clarify, what is best? And also you can understand Krishna's difficulty in answering this question, because he is the Supreme Lord, and he has to say, my worship is the best. Of course, when truth has to be presented, Srila Prabhupada explains that it has to be presented, even if it is not liked by the people who doesn't want to hear it. So Krishna for once and forever want to clarify this point, that how his personal form is the supreme. And he speaks very, just one verse he speaks. That maya avesya mano ye mam, nitya yukta upasate, sraddhaya parayopetas, teme yukta tama mataha. Yukta tama means most dearly connected. Are very intimately connected. This Yukta Tama Krishna also uses in the 6th chapter end. Yogi Namapi Sarvesam Atarantra Atmanam Sradhavan Bhajatoyamam Same Yukta Tama Mata. Same thing he says here again. So among all yogis, transcendentalists, Krishna clarifies that one who serves me with love, Maya Avesya Mano Yemam, one who was on his mind completely accepted me as the Supreme. This avesha, the avesha word we know, sakti avesha, these words are used. Avesha means, is like completely, we are completely enamored by that personality. Or that personality has completely sat on our practically head or mind. Constantly. So constantly can Krishna in our mind and heart, full acceptance. And in that way one who serves Krishna, he is the best, Krishna says. So Srila Prabhupada explains that how that absolute truth is known in three aspects. Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So those who accept Brahman aspect, they see the equality. That is the quality. That we are Satchidananda, Krishna is also Satchidananda. But they are not able to accept the Bhagavan feature, which is the personality of Godhead. Very difficult to accept. So once, His Holiness Giriraj Swami, when he met Srila Prabhupada for the first time, he had also that same concept, that I am also God. So he was asking some question, but Prabhupada could understand his heart. Because Prabhupada is such a, you know, he's in such a high position, he could see things clearly. So immediately Prabhupada answered, if you want to become God, then why should God help you compete with him? That was his answer. If I were God and if you want to be God, become God, why should I help you to compete with me? I will not allow you only. So the Mayavadi is worship the form of God, but the desire is to become God. So, Srila Prabhupada explains why they cannot accept. Why is it so difficult for us? The answer is simple. The answer is because of envy. Because for the envy, we are here. And Krishna, when he speaks about himself, especially to Arjuna, if you see in the 4th chapter, he says that I am telling you this knowledge and you will be able to understand this knowledge because you are my friend and devotee. Bhakto sime sakha cheti rahasya metad uttamam. That you are my friend, you are my devotee. Therefore, the rahasya, the mystery of this knowledge will be revealed to you. That is 4th chapter. But when he speaks about himself in 9th chapter, which is called the most confidential knowledge in Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning he says, you will understand this knowledge which I am about to speak, provided you are non-envious, anasuya. Because if somebody is already great and we envy him, and somebody else comes and speaks about him to us more, then instead of helping our understanding and appreciation will increase our envy, that's all. So therefore, Prabhupada always says, We should hear about Krishna from devotees who are non-envious, who serve the Lord with love. And when you hear from them, by their mercy, we are able to a little bit appreciate Krishna as a person. Otherwise it is very difficult. So Lord Krishna is saying, you can understand this about my glory because you are non-envious. In other words, he says, one who is envious or who is envious, he cannot appreciate. He cannot understand. So, how to overcome this envy? Unless we envy, we cannot understand Krishna as a person actually. The Mayavadis therefore fail to appreciate or accept Krishna. It is because of envy. Sometimes people say, like your devotees say, the moment we see envy, we know it is actually for Krishna. Or that enviousness is because of Krishna. Even if somebody envies somebody else in this world, we say that envy is because of envy to Krishna. Original envy to Krishna. So people sometimes ask, how is it so? I love God, but I am envious of this person or that person. People sometimes say like that. But actually, why you are envious? Because that person has certain other qualities which you don't have. Like His Holiness Radha Swami was explaining, that in this world, people always want to become perfect. They want to excel in whatever they do. There is no one in this world who does not want to excel in whatever he or she does. Isn't it? Anyone, whether a farmer or a carpenter or a musician or a scientist or a cook, everyone. They want to excel in whatever they want to, whatever they pick up, they want to excel. So Maharaj was saying, it is not bad to excel. One should in fact try to excel. There is nothing harm. But when you try to become the best, then there is a danger. Because when one becomes the best, one cannot tolerate anybody else becoming best. Therefore the envy comes. So, karmane vadhikaraste maafale sukadachana. One should be attached to the work, there is no problem. One should excel in his work. But if we aspire to become the best and nobody else become the best, then that is the danger. That is the envious situation. And there are so many pastimes that can be explained like that. So how to overcome this envy is by, first of all, one has to understand one is servant. So devotee is always secured because you will not compete with master. We call everybody else for Prabhu. So if we are envious of Prabhu, then what kind of Prabhu we are? What kind of servant are we? So servant never competes with Prabhu. That is one aspect. There are many other aspects. Like one should excel to inspire others, not to become the best. So the one may ask, why should I excel then if I don't want to become best? We want to excel because we want to inspire others to also serve nicely. Srila Prabhupada said that let my disciples be bigger preacher than me. Why? Because if somebody else become better and serve Krishna nicely, then that will please Krishna more. If it is pleasing Krishna more, and if I am a devotee of Krishna, then it should also please me. And what is the question of envy? Therefore, everybody should be encouraged to do better and better and better. Because that will please Krishna more and more and more. And in this way, every devotee will experience actual happiness. And that's how it was explained. But whereas for Mayavadis it is not possible. And there are so many other things. So in this way we see that how this desire to become God or to become one with God is all basically coming out of envy. And one who is accepting this knowledge from pure devotees or association of devotees with a proper humble attitude, then we can actually see the Supreme Absolute Truth in its full manifest. Otherwise we will miss it. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So it's a little late, I'm sorry for that. प्लीज एक्सक्यूज मी, सो विल नॉट टेक एनी क्वेश्चंस. श्रीमद् भागवत महापुराण की समवेत गौर भक्तवृंद की जय. हरे कृष्ण. थैंक यू वेरी मच.